Hi, everybody. It's Michelle, and this is Practical Applications Call 5, I believe. Yes, Call 5. And it is January 9th, 2020. And just before we go into Shavasana, I want to mention one thing. We've had a little excitement over here at my place. So I can't remember if I mentioned on Tuesday or not, my daughter was in emergency last week. And then last night, I injured my ankle, so I've got some ice on it right now. I'm headed to the doctor right after this. So if you're trying to get a hold of me and you haven't been able to get a hold of me for any reason, give me some time and we'll get things together. Many beautiful things happening here too, but there's been lots of excitement. My daughter's getting better. I'm hoping it's not a huge thing with my ankle. I think it's going to be just fine. So, and you know, I wanted to say this before Shavasana because that's why we practice Shavasana. That's why we start every day with Shavasana, because we don't wait for things to happen, whether it's, these are, you know, minor things, really. Life is fine. Nobody's died. Nobody's been horrendously injured. My daughter's doing fine. But we don't want to start then. We start now. We start today. And then we have the practice behind us. So then when things happen in our companies, in our lives, it's like we have this place to return to. We have this oasis. We have this calm space that has already been built through daily practice. So that's what I encourage you to do. I know that it's made a huge difference in our lives in the last day and week. So without further ado, we're going to dive into Shavasana. And please find a comfortable place where you can lie down. Camera can be on or off for this part. It's whatever you choose. And if you're driving, please pull over. Be safe. If you're not able to lie down for any reason, you can instead do a seated meditation and just use my words as a guide. So find a comfortable place where there's space around you. Don't be bumping into chairs or books or papers or furniture or people. Let there be spaciousness. Know that there is time. Time to take care, time to breathe, time to rejuvenate. And take this time now for yourself. So lying on your back, head and neck supported, bend the knees and press into the feet to lift the buttocks slightly off the floor. You can take the flesh of the buttocks toward the heels and make sure that that low back is relaxed. It's neither super arched nor, you know, jammed into the floor. It's just a natural curve of the low back. Many of us overarch low back. So that's again why we take that flesh to the heels. Make space for the low back. Find comfort there. Then extend one heel out and then the other. Release the legs. If the low back is not comfortable, then place the legs on some kind of support, a bolster or rolled blanket beneath the thighs. Or you could have your legs, the calves up on a couch, a chair. Anything that elevates the legs will relieve the low back. So the first step in Shavasana is to make sure that you're comfortable. Take the time to get the support you need. And the practice is a metaphor. Are you taking time to take good care of yourself to get the support you need? Oh, I know I'm doing that a lot right now for me and my daughter. What are you doing to take care? Softly close the eyes and let the whole body release to the earth. Just let go. Relax the feet. Relax the calves. The knees, the thighs, the hips and buttocks, the abdomen, low back. Relax the chest. Feel spaciousness in the chest, open center, heart center, centeredness. Relax the upper back. Take a moment now to bend the elbows, lift and open the heart center. Press into the elbows to do so. Press the elbows into the floor. And then release the arms again into that low V palms up position. Heart center open. Shoulders relaxed. Relax the upper arms. Relax the lower arms. Relax the hands and the fingers, the thumb, both thumbs. Feel softness in the center of the palms. Now let that softness of the palms travel up the arms again, releasing lower arms, upper arms, shoulders. Soften the throat. Feel the neck relaxing. Relax the back of the scalp. The top of the head. Skin of the face. Let it be smooth, no wrinkles. Let them release with each exhalation. So the face is soft like butter. Let the eyes sink back toward the back brain. Letting the mind become quiet. And watch the breath. Feel the ease of breath in this moment. Take this time for yourself. Go inward. Watch the breath. Let there be ease in this moment. Ease, breath, open heart, quiet mind. Watch the breath. Knowing that soon you'll be coming out of Shavasana, it begins first just with a thought that soon you will move. Allow the breath to deepen. Place the hands on the torso, feel the breath. Slowly bend the knees, roll to the right side, and support your head with your upper arm. And wait. Softly open your eyes, keeping the gaze toward the floor. Use your hands to slowly press yourself up to sitting and return to our virtual circle. Camera on whenever possible. Training that one-pointed attention. I'm here now. And when you get to those other tasks in your life or those other beautiful moments, you'll be there too. Be here now. And camera on whenever possible. Lots of great, I'm just looking at your questions. So many great questions on deck today. Very exciting to me. Okay. Just making sure I have notes at hand that I need for you today. Give me 1 second as you're returning to our circle here. Oh, I think it's right here. I need, yes. Okay, let's hear from one or two of you. What did you love in this practice today? Each one is different. We learn to pay attention to the details as we consolidate, as we notice what happened in Shavasana. What did you love? Who would like to begin? Anne, thank you.
I think today for me, I was aware that I just wanted to stay there and like sleep. I just wanted to stay in Shavasana all day. So it was, that's the truth.
That is a beautiful observation, Anne. And, you know, sometimes people will say to me, Michelle, how are you so disciplined? You know, you get so much done and you've created so many things. I'm like, how do you, and you practice too. Like, how do you, it must take a lot of discipline. I'm like, no, it doesn't. I don't, that's not really, it's an Iyengar word, but it's not really my word. I don't think, sometimes we might need discipline for some things, but I really think it's more like bees and honey. Do you know what I'm saying? Like, we practice in a way that where we go, oh, that's so delicious. I want to stay there all day. And then I'm not trying to make myself be disciplined enough to start my day because I know I'm supposed to do that. All that's kind of negative adult, the negative version of adult stuff. It's more like back to that childlike nature. It's like, oh, that's delicious. Oh, I want some more of that cake. I want some more of that Christmas gift. I want some more of that birthday cake, what, you know, whatever it is, right? That is a great way to be. And when you found that state that I just want to be there, sometimes I remember years ago at the yoga studio that where I used to teach, people would call it, and related poses that are restorative yoga, where we don't even get up off the floor. So in Shavasana is the backbone of that. So like that's the dessert of yoga. That's, you know, that's the yummy stuff. So if you got to that state, how wonderful is that? So easy to get there tomorrow then. Remembering what it feels like. Thank you, Anne. Love it. Let's hear from one more of you. What did you love today? Each practice is different. Every time we layer on another piece of what we're learning as we hear what happened to you today. Who would like to share? Mary Kay, I just muted your line. There was just a little bit of noise. So don't forget to unmute if you want to speak. Michelle, yes, you're up.
For me, I find it's like a reconnection to maybe my bigger focus or things like that. Like it's a chance to go like, oh yeah, that was the intention I had set for today or whatever. It's so easy to lose that in the busyness of the day that for me, it just reconnects me back to that, to what's really important. Mm. And then it's like, okay, now try to carry that forward with me again.
I love that, Michelle. Reconnection. Bigger focus, what's the intention for the day? And without that, we end up just busy doing, hang on, I think I don't have everybody muted. So let me just mute all the lines all at once here. So we have a little less noise. So yes, And that's exactly how perfect, what a perfect illustration. Our day is filled with that. Oh, here's a bit of noise here. Here's a bit of noise there. And we can really easily forget that intentionality. And I find that many, many, many of the best ideas for my company, the best ideas for my life have come not when I'm trying to do that. I don't do Shavasana to try to get great ideas. That doesn't work that way. I just be. I do it for myself. It's desserts. Like, oh, I just want to be there. And things just come. Something bigger descends that is, even though I've worked with words for so long, it's hard to put into words. It's very experiential. Reconnect. Intention, intentionality, bigger focus. Love that, Michelle. Yes, thank you. All right, anything else bursting to be said without which we cannot go forward? Okay, awesome. So announcements, some public service announcements here. We just have two calls left in this series after today. And there are still a lot of content that I want to share with you, and I always want to make sure there's time and space for your questions as well. So we are one module behind. I always leave stretch and playroom, don't worry. So we're going to do module 4 and probably part of module 5 today in here in call 5. That's about sales and offers and our ideal client. And then next we'll get to some marketing. How do we take our words online to those further away places? And then in the last call, what do we do with places like, you know, team and a whole bunch of other places where we want to use our words? And then where do we take our next steps from here? So that's kind of an outline of what we have remaining. And let me see. I already told you that about my sprained ankle, so be patient with me if I'm needing to get back to you. I head to the doctor right after this. I don't think it's too serious, but I'm hopeful anyways. It's kind of like red and bruised, and so be patient with me, please. Just a reminder to post your questions. We've got some great questions on deck. So it's at Story Freedom Academy. There's a reminder in your inbox every week about how to post questions. And even if you can't be here, we can answer the question even when you're not here. If you tell me you want me to wait until you're present, maybe there's some reason you can't be here live, let me know. But please keep asking your questions because it helps me to serve you, all right? And then I wanted to ask as well, did any of you re-watch those two short talks, the 3-minute and 7-minute talk that's posted under module 3 on speaking? Anybody get a chance to re-watch it after we did such a deep dive training on Tuesday about speaking and the connection between the speaker sheet and then the actual talk on the storyboard? I have never trained to that depth on how that talk works to produce real results ever before. And I love what you guys are saying. Well, it's not simple. It's easy to follow. I get it. But there's a lot of complex things going on. And so I refer you to that training last time. So did anybody get a chance? No worries if you didn't. But yeah, Anne, go ahead. What did you notice this time?
I could not get into, is it under module 3 in Story Freedom Academy?
Correct. Yes. Yes.
I can get into Story Freedom Academy.
Okay. So if you can't get in, always it's Amy who can, I'm not the techie person on the team. So
I did email her, but I haven't heard back from her yet.
Okay. So. And copy me on that email as well, Michelle@michellegunderson.com. And if you, let me see, if you are still having trouble getting in, Amy should get back to you soon. She's got a lot on her plate as well. So just maybe she missed it. Just email again. If you're still having trouble, post it even as a question. You can't get into Story Freedom. You can, if you're having trouble reaching her or, you know, having trouble with aspects of the course, you can phone me. You can text me is a way to reach me. 403-968-3717 is my phone number. That's my personal cell phone, all right? So if you're having trouble in other ways and there's something that you really need, that's the quickest and easiest, most direct way to reach me, okay? But Amy's the, I won't know the answer. I'll just refer it to Amy. But in case for some reason it went into her crash box or whatever else, okay? Okay, so I just encourage you to go back to those, go and listen to, if you weren't there live, or even if you were there live, there's a lot of content from last time about speaking. Go back and listen to it again, and then go back and watch the talks. You'll see different things in them as you go back and watch those talks. All right. I think that's it for announcements. Just a quick review of some of the resources that are available to you. I just want to take 1 minute over this. I want to remind you how we start, and this course is structured from close into far away. And I want to ask you guys, do you still remember what that means? Why we want to start close in, what difference that makes, and how we can end up not wasting a bunch of money in the wrong place, but start where we need to. What does that mean? Do you still remember that? That was way back call number one or two. Anne, go ahead.
It means start with the people that are around us that we already know.
Yes, start right in front of you with a person who's in front of you with eyes, nose, mouth, and you can see, and that's why we spend time at the beginning on networking. If that person can't hear me, why would I think that I can create a website where people can hear me? That's backwards, but that's where usually people start. Oh, how do I think I can create a, you know, 5-class series, for instance, and aim it out and get things that are going to move people if the person in front of me doesn't care about it at all? When I can start talking to them about the work that I do, and more importantly, not what I do, but what is inside them that matters to them, then we'll have the words for further and further away, from networking to speaking to sales conversations and offers to emailing, marketing campaigns, online work, websites, and so on. So start close in. Then those four principles, I start with a story at the beginning of this series of my daughter crossing the room when she doesn't really want to. Why did she do that? She didn't want to at all. And we have that for those four principles of persuasion in that acronym REAL. Relationship, empathy, add word skill, and love the genre. Most people think that it's all about just number four. I need to have some kind of word skill, and so I perfect my elevator pitch and everything's going to be fine. But then when people say, oh, what else do you have to say about that? We have nothing to say. So we need all of those components, and we have to learn about each of them independently than how they work together in order to keep our communications real, in order to make those connections that we want to make with people that we could serve. Then again, tons of, if you have an access Story Freedom Academy, there are so many resources there. Make sure you're accessing it. And sometimes, I don't know, Anne, if you've been in there already, you know, multiple times, but maybe the site was just down momentarily, I don't know, or something glitched. Again, I'm not the techie person, but so many resources for you. There's networking personalities to emulate and to avoid. And remember, we connected those with that acronym REAL. And if you haven't done that exercise yet, go and see so it becomes real to you. You know, why is it that if I'm, you know, Mr. Robot or Miss, you know, anxious to make a sale or whatever it is, that what principle of that acronym REAL, the four principles of persuasion, does it cross? And once I've played with those things, and that you can do with each other and in your own time, it starts to become something that's implementable. It's not just a picture that we can post and put up on our wall, which, although you could do that to remind you, it's something that we implement when we're actually meeting people day to day, and we can start noticing at subtler and subtler levels when these things are happening. Because each one of us, most likely, I know I've been every one of those people at some point, usually not overtly, it's some small little piece inside me that is still hooked on one of them. Can I pay attention at that level, because it's going to get in the way of those real words, that those powerful words that actually get the results that we want. Networking personalities to emulate and avoid. There's 7 principles of networking magic. There's networking do's and don'ts. And when you go back to those handouts now, as we're doing other components of where we use our words, you're going to see different things in them, because some of those principles, it's a different genre, but many of them are going to carry on into other other areas as well. So listening first. I need to be able to listen to an audience, otherwise I can't have anything to say, right? It's a higher level skill to listen to an audience than just one person. But when we talk about listening over there and networking, I need to carry that on into when I'm moving into something further away, or when I'm speaking live, versus speaking like this, where I can see you, versus speaking to an audience that I can't see. Maybe it's just audio, right? Versus just a video, and maybe people can chat in, versus a video out there. Those are all further and further away. So I want to practice it close in, and all those principles are going to be helpful as you carry to the next stage. We went through 10 keys to great speaking. So each one of those principles, I don't know... And thank you, Tracy. I got your note. So 10 keys to great speaking. Each one of those principles, I don't know how to do it without that. if you don't envision, I like to envision the audience as bored and not paying attention at the first, right? Impress me. Like my boys in the back of the room when I used to teach university with their ball caps on. I love those boys, you know, because when I could gather their attention, how wonderful was that? Then we, in those 10 great keys to great speaking, we talked about audience. Sometimes I imagine that audience, sometimes just for a moment so I can find the right words, but more often I imagine an ideal audience. That's one, and we were talking about Michelle's parents, I think it was, right? Wasn't it? You know, people who love and support us, and we envision that they're listening to every word, and that's going to produce actually the best words throughout. So I think about that, you know, a little more resistant audience just to get something that will hook them at the beginning. Then I envision an audience that is closer in, somebody that will really listen because I will say those things that I might be afraid to say. Otherwise, who's that person who always listens to you? I do a, you know, even hour-long exercise sometimes with my clients who take the deeper dive with me to understand exactly who that person is. I've done an entire VIP day, 3 hours with somebody to really understand that. Completely changed how she wrote her book, the results that she got, you know, everything. So audience and purpose, just one of those 10 keys to great speaking. Those handouts are there to serve and support you. We went through the speaker storyboard, my storyboard last time, and I reminded you that it was from a person in the audience. She hadn't seen that talk before, but she could see exactly the structure of it because it has to be laid out very simply for people. We often get lost in the complexity of our own topic, but we want very simple principles that people can relate to. One of the things that some of you were saying last time is that that 3-minute talk, that 7-minute talk, Michelle, it's like you're really relatable. How does that happen? And it's all these things that we've been learning here that creates that. It's both a reality, I really do care and I'm really listening, and it's an effect of knowing these principles and engaging them, all right? So there's a 3 and 7 minute talks. I would watch them several times because they're highly crafted. I don't encourage you to start there with those short talks, but you'll see a lot of the components put into practice of what we've been talking about here. And then last time, again, we went through the storyboard and the speaker one sheet side by side. I've never, ever done that with people before. And I love that you guys didn't coddle me. You go like, oh, that's actually more complex, right? And say, yeah, Michelle, it's easy when I asked you. But everybody had almost, I think it was just pretty well unanimous or very close to unanimous. Like, yes, I could do that. I could get that started, you know, this week. I was so happy when I saw you raising your hands in that way. So we have traveled a huge distance together. We still have so much more to go as we get to those further and further away places and using all the principles that we've already gained and then taking them into other aspects of our businesses and our lives, right? So I think what I want to do is just pause for a minute because that's a brief recap of, let me see, 4 weeks of work, 4 classes of work. We can't redo those 4 weeks in 10 minutes, but I can remind you of some of the places where we've been. And I just want to hear from one of you, just an aha, something opening in you now, something that's like, right, I forgot about those networking personalities. I haven't looked at them in a while. Or, oh, right, that's another nuance. You explained that even in more detail about audience, Michelle, because I added something when I did the summary. And that's a really new idea. I want to go try that out. Or I hadn't thought about the different ways where speaking itself goes from close into further away. That's another nuance of the close into far away principle that I hadn't understood before that I'm going to apply when I'm going to start in my kitchen or whatever it is. What's your aha just from that brief summary? So I know you've heard and you're thinking and you're listening actively and always like, does this apply to me? How does this apply to me? How am I going to use this? What's opening in me now? Right? So from that brief summary, what caught your attention? And it might be just something I knew that before, but I'm returning to it now and I know that's important. Or it might be, hey, I didn't really understand that one component. I've got to go back to it. Maybe I wasn't on the call on Tuesday or whatever it is. What's your aha? Sergio, thank you. Great to see you. I hope you enjoyed your extended meditation trip. How wonderful. And your whole North American tour. And you've been in wonderful places, Sergio. So great to see you. So what's your aha today?
It's not what you said. It's the questioning they use to get people to to reflect on what you said.
And what was your aha about it? So other people, and I love that, Sergio, you're always listening both to what I'm saying and then how I'm saying it, because it's like training about how things land, right? So how you can, we can get things to land. So what did you hear in that that then you would love to, that you loved about it, or that you would like to implement to help us, give us a detail so that they can hear it too?
So when I'm giving a talk, I need to have pauses and ask questions so people reflect and get it at a deeper level. Because we can sometimes go into a trance whilst we're listening to people, but when we have that pause and we ask questions, we then reflect and get it at a deeper level.
I love that. Thank you, Sergio. And if you're in the if you're on a longer journey with me, in the year-long journey, we're going to do a deeper dive into what you just said in early February, I believe it is, because there is more to that than meets the eye. How do we use that? The words come through the spaces, they come through the pauses. And if we're not doing that, nobody can hear anything. And so I realized I was Googling, doing kind of rapid fire. So it could be the time I'm going to go to sleep. I don't know. Oh, this is from what was before. It's like, oh, no, wait, this is for right now. And it's a practice of presence. Was I there for that? Because if I wasn't there for that, if I didn't hear it, I won't hear the next piece either. So pause, make sure everybody's awake, and then we go on, right? Really nice, Sergio. Nice notice. Because a lot of things happening that I may not be remarking on, right? I might not point them out, but good notice. Yes, that's happening. Absolutely. Let's hear one more aha.
Thank you.
Thank you for that. It's a very astute comment. What else is moving in you from that brief summary that you can use? Mary Kay, I thought it was you. First we see you, and then I knew the hand was going to come. Mary Kay, thank you.
Well, I just, in listening to you, and I think there's a lot of value in review, and I hadn't realized that as much. It's kind of what Sergio was saying to people about. People don't always get it or pick it up, and so I've just watched how you have a sort of a skilled way of reviewing and having people participate in the review really makes it get through.
Thank you, Mary Kay. Thank you for that. Yes, so it's something, I don't remember the exact percentage, but what people retain, I learned it over and over again, but it was about 10 years ago when I was a student at Peak Potentials. I did 3 years, 25 courses with them. When I do something, I like to do a deep dive. At the time, they were the largest, the fastest growing personal development training company in the world. And what they would do, they teach very intensive courses. So I went to their Millionaire Mind Intensive, I went to Life Directions, I studied with them for years. And what they would do over and over again, we would complete the day, and the next day they would have, they had big pieces of paper, and they would write down some keywords, and then they would post those keywords up all around the room. And every morning we had to start that way. We would go with a partner and review. And I'm like, I can't remember what that was. And we wouldn't even know what we'd learned because we were learning so quickly. So that word, that meant, and the other person maybe would remember. And they taught us at the time too, and I wish I could remember that. It's kind of ironic. I can't remember the stat, but the retention level is, I don't know, it's like 75% more or something like that when we actually review. I don't remember, maybe some of you know the numbers. Not too concerned about the number itself. I'm more concerned right now or focused on that we can retain this and then also know that we can implement it. And also we may have been doing more than you had realized because it's cumulative, right? And also I'm aware that you've all been in different places and doing different things. So that recalls us to this journey here and now. So thank you for that. Great, great observations. Thanks, Sergio. Thanks, Mary Kay. Awesome. All right. So that's where we've been. There are great questions on deck. There's also a lot of content that I want to share with you. So let me just pause for a moment and decide, because I had the questions up first. Do I want to do it that way or not? Yeah, because I think I want to, if there's questions on deck, then I want to just kind of empty that out a little bit because that then it creates a space for the next learning. All right. So, and Jasmine is not here and hers is the first question on deck, but I know that she's very faithful about listening to the recordings afterwards. So hi, Jasmine. Thank you for the great questions. So, Let me
Michelle,
see.
Michelle, yeah, did ahead. You see Sergio was sharing some kind of retention curve, I think?
Oh, no, I didn't see it. It's not showing up in my chat. Oh, you've got it right in front of you there, Sergio. Talk to us, Sergio. Tell us what it, thank you for that, Steve. Tell us, Sergio. I love that. You know the stats. Beautiful. Sergio, can you unmute and share it with us? Thanks, Steve, for pointing that out.
Okay, without review, your retention within 24 hours just drops dramatically. If you have regular reviews, it stays around the 80, 90%.
I knew it was way up there. I don't remember it from the learning 10 years ago, but Sergio, you've got it right at hand. So if we want to be on that line, if you want your students to be on that line too, not the one going, I remembered it dropped dramatically down. So thank you for that, Sergio. I love that. And thank you, Steve, for like pointing that out. All right, questions. I want to have them in front of me here so that I remember to respond to them in Jasmine. If this didn't answer everything, and this is true for all of you, or you have another layer of question after that, repost. Just keep posting the questions. I don't care if you post 10 questions. We will get to them all somehow, some way, whatever the questions are, all right? So Jasmine says, I want the scripts to take and tweak and see as a model on how to write a professional sounding biography was her first one. And so... Again, I'm not a huge script giver because you can find those so easily just even with a quick search online. Go find one and then ask, you know, post it, you know, for us, post it in a question and ask more subtle questions about it, because I want to take our time to get to the more subtle levels of language, discourse, words, and how they're really working, right? But if you are in the year long, I've posted a whole hour or 2 hour long training and samples. That's over there in the Love Your Words part of Story Freedom Academy. And and if you want a model, you can take a look at mine. It's very short, but it's on my website. It serves its purpose. And the one thing that I will point out is keeping the audience in mind and what's the purpose. The purpose isn't actually to talk about me. The purpose is to talk about you guys, is to talk about people that I serve. So I would go back, Jasmine, and reread the bio on my website. I like my teacher, Sandra Yancey, has different bios out there. One thing you could do is go and search Sandra Yancey, Yancey, and take a look. She's got a short bio, a long bio out there, and then, you know, you can use her work, my work as a model, and then ask me some questions. But watch when you're reading my bio how I talk about the experience of the people I work with, even though I'm ostensibly talking about me. That's the key, because the purpose isn't really to, blow my own horn. It's not about that. We need credibility, yes, but it's really about the experience of the students and clients. And this came up with one student I was working with, and she was so heart-centered, but actually all her accolades, she didn't want to talk about them, so she put them over to the side on her bio. And all it did is draw attention. I've got this and this and this and that. And there's subtle ways that her language in her bio was actually doing the opposite of what she wants. Like, it's really about me. It's really about me. It's really about me. So that's the first thing that I would say. Go over to those models and ask me a follow-up question, Jasmine, and once you get to this recording. And watch how it's not talking about me. It's talking about somebody else. And then go take a look at that, you know, 1 or 2 hour training over in the Love Your Words Academy. She says, I also want to write a professional thank you note to JV partners, collaborators on a project. So will you please give me a script? And I want to remind you and everyone here about the words. Like, keep it simple. Keep it super simple. So I wrote down, here's a simple script. I want to thank some people. Remember, people are busy, and this is particularly for Jasmine and her. She's having people take the time to be interviewed. They have to read through materials, and you want to imagine that people have a lot on their plate. So how can you get information to them quickly and succinctly? So Jasmine, for you in general, I would shorten it up. I would take whatever you've written and cut it down by like 9/10. This is particular for Jasmine, but I know that often we all start out that way. And I wrote down, Dear X, thank you so much for participating in X. Your contribution helped us XYZ. Z for you if you're in the States. I so appreciate that you were willing to, why, be so honest about your journey, help us out in this particular way, and then a call to action, whatever you want them to do next. Please remember to go check blah, 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 where there's something nice for you. Best, Jasmine. We look for something complex, and that's why I don't spend a lot of time with scripts. There's a very simple script. You can adapt it in whatever way you want. And the really important point is, like, what's the purpose? Who's the audience? What do I want to say? Keep it simple, all right? And how to write a sales page. I think I'm going to talk about that either on the next class or a little bit later today. So let me see. Since Jasmine's not here, let me see. I just gave you my phone number. Will somebody text me right now, 403-968-3717. Raise your hand if you'll do this for me and say, hit Jasmine's sales page question later today or next class. Well, so who's going to text me? Raise your hand so I don't get 10 texts. Who's going to do that for me right now? 403-968-3717 so I can keep teaching. Because if I write a note to myself with everything going on, thank you, Steve. That's really kind of you. Okay. All right. She says, I want a name for a product or module of a course. And what makes an engaging name for a product or a module for a course? I'm going to give a first level answer, then ask a follow-up question, Jasmine. Lots of questions here. Make sure it focuses on the benefits. And so it's easy to understand, right? Think practical applications. Get results with your words. The benefits are right there. Right? It's going to be a course that's practical. It's going to tell you how to get results. And we used to say get results in your words for business, but we're sending it out to business owners. We don't need to say that. Embodied words. Be heard by those you're meant to serve. That's the name of my Mexico retreat. Embodied words, people might not know what that is. So in the subtitle, I've got exactly the transformation. Be heard by those you're meant to serve. How do we get those words embodied? How do we make them real, right? So there's a few, and keep the titles short. So special for Jasmine, but for all of you too. Keep it short. Let the benefits be clear. Can it be in just as few words as you can say? Stories that sell. Clear benefit, right? And the subtitle, gain confidence, inspire action, and sell more with powerful stories. This is exactly what you're going to get out of it. That's actually kind of too long a title, but I still like it and I keep it anyway. Stories that sell. All right. Then Jasmine asks, I want to know how to use the REAL, like the acronym method, to better engage with my prospects in particular and do the kind of research into their pains and desires that will allow me to speak their lingo. Well, this is right on the material for today. My first level answer is to do tons and tons and tons and tons of strategy sessions. Strategy sessions is when you're talking to somebody who you may be able to help. You can help them in the strategy session and you may be able to help them further. And when you do that, it's someone that is somewhere in the range of your ideal client zone, and listen to what they're saying. Listen and do a million strategy sessions and you will hear their language and listen to your clients. We're going to do a deeper dive into that today, but that is the very first thing. It's such an important skill. Listen, my last chapter of my PhD dissertation was called Listening Differently. Listening Differently. And we do other modules on that again in the year long, but how do we, how we actually do that, not in the ways that people think. Because you can break all the rules that people say and still be listening. Or you can follow the rules that people usually say and, you know, not be listening, you know what I'm saying? So there's ways that we listen beyond the scope of today's answer. But tons of strategy sessions, and then ask a follow-up question. All right. So Jasmine's question. Jasmine isn't here live, but I'd love to hear an aha from one of you, because this is for all of you. Whether you're writing a title for a program or you're not sure how to say thank you or you're worried about scripts, hopefully that diffused some of the anxiety about scripts. It's like, if you want one, I'll give you one, but they're so simple. We won't waste a lot of time there. What was your aha from this? Because I want you to know that this is all for you. Jasmine's question, but it's for you. One aha. So I know that, yes, Steve, thank you.
The thought about the bio being for the audience as opposed to, I mean, really how I interact and how I serve the audience that's listening to the bio as opposed to just a history lesson.
You caught it. I said it quickly, but it is life changing. And that's true for when you're being introduced as a speaker too.
Yeah. So I'm going to have to go change mine.
Thank you. Yes. Here's so-and-so and they're this and they're that and they're that and they're that and they're that. And oh, wow, that person must think they're the best thing since sliced bread and they're nothing like me. And I have no connection to that. And so I'm this person very far away from who that. It's not that the credibility isn't in there, but credibility is there, vulnerability there. And mostly what are they going to experience? And it's, yeah. Thank you for hearing that. Beautiful. Yes. All right. Next question on deck. Mary Kay's. So we got one from Mary Kay, one from Jackie, one from Anna Maria. Those are the ones I saw. If ever you post a question and I didn't see it, I think I've got them all. But let me know. All right. Just keep asking. So Mary Kay, so interesting. She's asking, you know, when is my writing good enough? How can I rate my writing good enough or where I want to show it? Social media, PDF, email, etc. Well, Mary Kay is asking questions about far away. We're headed towards there. So we'll hear more about that in the next call and the call after, right? Because we want to learn it close in. And she gave actually some nice suggestions of roadblocks. I can edit and then that will stop me from, you know, clicking publish, right? I'd rather endlessly create than show my creation to someone. I get excited about my work and start to include more than the audience is ready for. So I'm including part of Mary Kay's question because this is really instructive. These are great observations, right? So I don't want to just endlessly edit. I don't want to endlessly just, and people do that. We do that sometimes, don't we? We just stay behind our computer and create stuff or post on Facebook or whatever. So we don't have to see real people. I don't know how to get there from there, but a lot of entrepreneurs are doing that. And so for instance, if you're spending like Sandra Yancey, one of my teachers, she says, some people are spending a couple hours a day, for instance, on social media. How many have ever spent more than an hour in a day on social media? Raise your hand. Yeah. Okay. So she said, you know, some people are spending 2 hours a day on social media. That's 2, 4, 6, 8, like 10 hours in a normal work week, 10 out of 40 hours. That's 1/4 of the work week. That's 25% of the company, company time with zero results, zero return. She says, no company can even survive doing that. Right. So, sometimes we just want to endlessly create or do things that, you know, and Mary Kay pointed to some of those as like the ways that we get around actually doing our work. And she knows that those are her editors. So she said some of the solutions that might work, using a timer, putting myself in my audience shoes, reading it out loud, setting aside for a while if I get too wrapped up in it, cut and paste from previous writings, tracking to see if my body feels right about it. I'm sharing her whole question with you. Because I want to emphasize how important it is to ask questions. Mary Kay answered a whole bunch of her own question in the question itself. When you ask questions, sometimes I've asked questions of my teacher, I've answered 20 of them before I get to the question I want to ask. And all these solutions are coming from my company, coming. So wait, I know the answer. That was already answered earlier, but I hadn't realized how it applied to me and so on, right? So it's another part of the power of asking questions. So Mary Kay's suggestions, I absolutely underline every single one of them. These are great, great observations. I know I've gone through it quickly. You've got the recording. You can put it on slow if you want to listen to it afterwards, all right? But how do I know when my writing is good enough? I want to give another suggestion that Mary Kay's not yet thought about. Having others to review your writing with you and giving yourself a date for getting it out there. Just like we talked about with speaking, it's like set a date. Have a date that you're going to get that thing out there and work with others. I do that. I've been working with words for over 25 years, but I have people that I work with because it moves along so much faster. And I want to tell you this briefly, make sure those people are dream enablers. And also what we should post, Mary Kay, will you please send me, this is your question, a text, 403-968-3717, that says, please post how to review manuscript, all right? How to review manuscript in Practical Applications. It's already over there for in the year long, but I want to post it over here because if you're going to get people to respond to your writing, it's extremely important that they do so well. And a lot of people are dream stealers without meaning to be. Well, I don't know about that word. That kind of seems like, I don't know if I'd use that word. Yeah, I guess it's okay. And all of a sudden our spears are crushed, you know, and they didn't mean to say that. So there's a very particular way to have people help with writing, but it's outlined in that document, and I really highly suggest that you do so and get some people to help you review your words beyond the scope of what we're doing here. But when I used to teach a lot about words and writing at the university, every class I taught, I had the students work together. They hated me at first and wanted to switch sections, and by the end, they loved it. It's like, nominate me for teaching awards and, you know, arrange their classes around me, whatever it was, you know, around my schedule. Because it worked. It worked. I taught them very specifically how to do it, and their writing improved drastically through that that revision process. So we don't have the time and space to do that here. If you want more on that, ask questions, and I'll make the space to tell you a little bit more about that. But that is a really important way both to get accountability, to get feedback that's outside your own head, because something you might understand, but the other people don't understand it. So they don't know what that means. So an audience, a real audience, will help you. And then also setting a date. So there's some suggestions for you, Mary Kay. And I'm going to have you post a follow-up question if you have more that you want to ask about that. I love it. We've got so many questions on deck, so much content I want to teach you. So I'm just going to keep moving forward, all right? But great, great question. And just repost, post a follow-up, Mary Kay. Does that give you one thing to do at least to help you with that? Mary Kay, was that helpful in any way?
Yes. Doing the two that you suggested. So thank you for emphasizing them.
Uh-huh. All right. And then if you're already doing it and you're already having people respond to your writing, there is more and more subtle levels about how they can do so, how they can be useful, that, you know, I have years and years of having trained people to do so. So ask a question about how to make that more effective, who those people should be, what they should be responding to and why, what they should not be responding to. That's another level of it, because it can be highly, highly effective. All right. So thank you. Great question. Jackie is asking about, she says, are you calling it unconscious competence or was it unconscious confidence? So she says, I'm not going to read it all, but she says, many times I struggle to realize how much I do know. So I have all this stuff, right, that I know. And people say, hey, you've got so much stuff, you should be writing a book. It's so deep. And this happens, I think, to so many of us. Like, we know our area and so many aspects of it. Then she says, this is the part that I want to read you, there could be so many stories about each area, and yet they link together like pieces in a huge puzzle to complete a beautiful picture. So there's all this stuff, and I can hear the overwhelm, and I can hear the, you know, then where do I even start? One last thing, this is hard for me. What if this isn't what I'm supposed to be doing, writing story? What if I'm only meant to do the work I talk about and let someone else write the story because that's their thing? Am I making sense? All right. So that would be a copywriter, perhaps, right? Or maybe a ghostwriter for your book. Or I'm not opposed to engaging these people's services. I'm a copywriter myself because it's a time thing. It's like, do you have time to write all that copy, right? And then every word goes through me and I revise and play with it, right? So not opposed to that. However, I'm hearing an editor behind this question. And Jackie, where are you? Are you here today? So I'm answering questions where people aren't here. And that's fine. They'll get it in the recording. And Jackie, once you listen to this recording, just ask me a follow-up question if there's one. All right. So I'm hearing an editor, that voice inside that doesn't really help us in this question. That's their thing. They own story. They're good at it. And you're hearing it too, aren't you? I saw your nod, right? I can't really do that. And there's all this stuff. I'm just meant to be the expert. Oh, there's all that over there. I'll never really get it. And that is the story that's getting in the way. We talk more about words here. We have a whole series called Story Foundations that we're going to get to in the year long in spring, early summer. But to say a bit about story here, couple things I want to say in response to this question. First, about that, there's all that stuff I don't even know where to start. I want to tell you a brief story about a friend of mine. Her name is Vicky. She was writing her master's thesis, and she was like, I'm never going to get this done. I don't know how to do it. It's way too complex. It was this, in a different area, the same question Jackie was asking. And her area happened to be nursing. Doesn't really matter what the area is. And then I just asked her to start telling me about it. I said, that's great. Write that down. Right, it's great. That's great. I write that down, because she was just explaining the basics to me before she was going to get to the other stuff that she was going to tell me about. I'm like, that thing that you think is so obvious, that thing that everybody knows, that thing that's right here that you don't even bother saying it, that's your most powerful material. That's how she got her master's done. I said, Vicki, just write that. But that's so boring. Everybody knows that. No, they don't. You just think that because you've been working with it for so long. That obvious stuff. And let me give you another example. One of my yoga teachers, she's one of the best Iyengar teachers in Canada. And she would drill into us over and over again, bore them with the basics. Bore them with the basics. They'll seem basic to other people. If you were at Story Freedom, some people came up to me at Story Freedom, were in tears saying that, you know, because we did a small piece of movement of yoga, no experience necessary. People came up to me in tears saying that, you know, that changed my life. And what I was doing, I was boring you with the basics. Very, very basic things done well. And it changes everything. So that's the first thing I would say, Jackie, bore them with the basics, the simple stuff. And so it doesn't seem so complex. And about that phrase, unconscious competence, I wouldn't worry about it right now too much. That just means there's stuff that I'm doing that I don't even know I'm doing. And one great way to find out what that unconscious competence is to teach. So I taught a course several years ago. It was called Build Your Event, and it was all on how to run events. And I learned something about what everybody doesn't know about running a great event at the end of that call by a question the student asked me. And it became the foundation for that course, and I would have missed it because it was so obvious to me that I couldn't see it. Let me tell you what it is, because now you make me go, what is that thing that, you know, makes an event? You have to fall in love with your own event. You have to fall in love with it. If you don't want to be there, if you're not like dying to be there, if there's no place else on earth that you would rather be than right there with whatever it is you're doing, why would anybody else want to come? That's so much a part of me. I love my teaching events. I love it. I love teaching. I love being here with you. I've got a, you know, something going on with my ankle. I don't care. I've forgotten all about it. I'm here with you. Do you know? I've looked down for a moment. It's like, oh, right. So, but that was way too close to me because I've done that for so many years. I've always done that. That's how I be. I couldn't even see it. So how to dig out some of that unconscious competence? Don't worry about it too much. It's going to happen as you work with your people. You'll know more and more about what your material is, but don't worry about that. Those subtler levels, bore them with the basics. That's my best answer to that question. All right. And again, Jackie, when you hear this, just post a follow-up question. It's a great questions on deck. Anna Maria. So interesting in the wording of this question. She says, throughout the holidays, I practice meeting and connecting to people. I made a point of asking questions, being interested, trying to listen. My awareness was that my biggest challenge was to sell myself, to tell my story, or to captivate people's attention. Is this an ability or skill that I need to practice that I can learn, overcome shyness? I do recognize that I'm much happier when people are talking in social situations than me. And then she says something really nice. find the class fascinating, etc. Thank you, Anna Maria. So, and about raising your hand, she said she raised her hand on the last call, but raise your hand physically, like just raise your hand. Because if you're raising your hand through the electronics, I won't see it. Okay. Just raise your hand if you have a question. And sometimes I might not see it if I'm sharing my screen, because I might not be able to see you at the moment. So, and then just post it on the next call as you did here. Okay. So, my biggest challenge was to sell myself, to tell my story, or to captivate people's attention. I think part of the challenge here is in the question itself, just like with the last one. Can anyone hear it? Yeah. Anna Maria, are you okay if I turn it over to Steve? Because he was nodding really strongly. I think he's heard it. Yes, Steve.
Yes.
What did you hear? What did you hear in the way this question was phrased? We've done a lot of that work playing with the words together, Steve, and now you're hearing it over here. What did you hear?
Those strategy sessions or those engagement conversations need to not be about you.
Mm-hmm.
They need to be in service to the people that you're talking to. Mm. And if there's a connection, they'll pull out from you what it is they need to hear.
Brilliant, beautiful words. Thank you, Steve. I thought it would be better from somebody else than me. You guys will hear it better, right? Beautifully put. And this is a wonderful summary of some of the things from calls 1 and 2, for instance, in this series. So to add to what, so everything Steve said, absolutely, 100%, yes. And I, because part of what I hear in this too is my biggest challenge is to sell myself, to tell my story, to captivate people's attention. And something in the way that that's said suggests an already given state that that's not going to happen. So I have to make a real effort because otherwise they won't hear me, which is the come from place. As long as that's the come from place, it's an impossible task. There's no way I can answer the question. There's no way to get there from there. Can you hear it, Anna Maria? Are you hearing what I'm saying? You were nodding. Yes. Yeah. Yeah. Good. Okay. So that's why this aligning the inner story with the outer story so that we can be heard, what's the inner story going on, is so important. And again, we only talk a little bit about story here, world enough and time. We can't get to everything all at once. But that's one example of an inner world story that's blocking the very thing that is being asked, right? There's no way to answer that question and get to a satisfactory solution. Instead, what if I can walk in and I would go back to call one and two and listen to them again, because now that we're here, you'll hear it with different ears. I would go and re-listen to that. There's more there than meets the eye. And it's like, but I've already been listening, right? I've already been listening. And your question started out with, I have been listening and I've made a point of asking questions, being interested in trying to listen. I'm so glad you're doing that. That's great. Great start. And then when it starts from service, exactly as Steve was talking about, then I'm always listening for how I can help them, whether it's in my area or not. And when I come in with that attitude, when the right person is in front of me, it's going to come up. I have some trust and some faith that that's going to happen. So I'm not entering in so anxious. I've got to walk in and sell myself, which is what most people are doing out there in the world, whether they're networking or selling, and why it's not going so well. And it's right in the root of the question. So Anne Maria, does that give you a place to begin at least? And a place to ask a follow-up question from there? Yeah, excellent, excellent questions. I love this. And I love the consolidation, the drawing together of the different material through your questions. I hope this is helpful to you. I would love to hear one brief aha, because there's more content I want to share with you next. One brief aha from all of those questions. These are stellar questions. One aha, one thing that's opening for you now. So I know you heard. Thank you, Michelle.
I just really love the bore them with the basics.
Yes. Isn't that a great phrase? That's my teacher's phrase, but yes.
It relates a lot to me, as you know, what I'm working on as well. So
bore them with the basics. Exactly. And that's exactly what I do in that short talk. Those two short talks, the 4 minute and the 7 minute. Now I tell you, I went through many iterations of that 4 minute talk because it really mattered. And I really tried. I'm not above any of these teachings, right? I really tried to find something else. The essence of this whole company is stories are everywhere. And I tried a million different other iterations. That talk really mattered to me, I promise you. I tried to come up with some other fancy dancing content. And I came right back to pour them with the basics. And this is what people need to know. This is the single domino. This is the thing. When people understand this, it changes everything. Thank you for that. Yes. And that connecting that bore them with the basics also with that single domino. It's like there's something essential in the way that you see the world and how you share it with other people that moves the needle for them. And it's seeing that. That's why you need other people around you too. It's too close to us. We can't see it. What are the basics? Yes. Really good. Okay. With world enough and time, I'd love to hear like 2 hours of ahas. We're going to keep moving. I know we're going at like a quick pace, but again, in this whole series, to get this done in 7 weeks is so much I want to share with you. It's a whole world that we're building that is different from how people see it out there about words, about stories, about getting our message across, right? So, all right. So today's material, sales and offers, and then we're going to go start working into ideal client, which we'll continue that work next time, right? So, all right. We're at least going to go a deep dive into module 4, which is 5 powerful words to make sales easy. And let me see. Here's the promise of this module. I mentioned this last time. Many entrepreneurs struggle with sales, and even those with a strong background in sales know they could do better. Avoid the dilemma of too pushy, too timid, and access an honest, enjoyable, pressure-free approach to making offers that sell. And so in this module, you'll learn 5 powerful words that make sales easy and keep you on track in sales conversation. I'm going to tell you those right away. You will not be surprised when you hear them. especially after that last interchange between Anna Maria and Steve. Discover what to ask people so they realize immediately that you're the perfect person to help them, and get 7 surefire steps to closing high ticket sales with ease. So that's the first place that I want to go to. Next place I want to go to here. Before we even get to that, I want to say, why does it even matter? Why did I choose this as one of the core places, sales and offers? Why does it matter to make offers? It's one of those, it might be so close to us that we can't even see it. Somebody name it for me. If we don't pause over why it matters, why will we listen to the rest of it, right? Why does it matter to make offers in your business? Somebody tell me.
That's how you succeed. Like, that's how you serve people. If you don't ask them if they want to join you, how would they know that they want to?
Yes, thank you. I think that's Wendy's voice, a disembodied voice here. Thank you, Wendy. Yes. If you don't make an offer, how would you know that there's somebody, like, whether you can even help them or not? We're here in service, right? And so here's the thing too. We're not making offers. We don't have a business. We have a hobby. We don't have a business. And it's not something we do once. We do it daily, weekly, monthly. Oh, it's not something we do. Okay, got that part done. This needs to be an ongoing process in our business. Otherwise, we don't have a business. It's the lifeblood of the business. And it ought to be fun. For me, it's fun. For me, it's engaging. And sometimes it feels like, who related to what Anna Maria had to say? It's like, sometimes I feel like I got to sell myself. And have you ever had a moment like that? Raise your hand. Where you felt that kind of pressure, right? So we want to thank you for that. Thank you for honesty. So, like, what if this could, this is a crucial part of our businesses. What if this could be easy? What if this could be fun? What if we knew the building blocks to do that, right? So, so there are different ways to make offers in a company. There are things that are far away, like a sales page where people click and buy. Now, in practical applications, you guys know me. Would I say start there? No, why wouldn't I say start there? Somebody tell me. Steve, you're shaking your head very strongly. What would you say? You had the strongest head shake. That's why I'm asking you.
It's too far away.
Thank you. Yes, you guys are learning. Yes, thank you. So what do you think I'm going to suggest that you start with? You guys know, I hope, right? Anne. Yeah, I know you guys too, Steve. Anne.
With the people that you already know.
Yes. Talk to a real live person with eyes and nose and a mouth, a real live person in front of you, all right? And in the language of this company, that's called, there are two words that I want you to know, and they're different from each other, a strategy session or a connection call. Now, a strategy session could be called a discovery session. It could be called whatever you wanted. I call it a strategy session. A connection call, for those in the year long, I've got a whole 2-hour training on this because the nuance is important, all right? You can go access that. Here's the 1-minute version. A connection call is two people getting together and you help each other out. That's a connection call. I encourage you to be in connection calls with each other. Hey, how can I help you today? Hey, how can I help you today? And maybe you're going to discover a friend, a colleague. Maybe you need their work. Maybe they need your work. Maybe you're going to be speaking for them. They're speaking for you. Maybe you're just going to share and mastermind together. It's a connection call. That is and that's a really important thing to do in a company, whatever your company is. Maybe you're connecting with somebody in your field, somebody outside your field, get different ideas. Connect with somebody here. That's different than a strategy session. A strategy session is where there's somebody that you start a conversation, maybe you're networking, and they're asking you a bunch of questions, or you can see that they've got some pain in your area. This happened with somebody who wanted to buy a copyright, wanted to hire a copywriter. This is years ago. And somebody at the table, we were networking, somebody at the table was trying to sell her program. And I'm just like, she just wants a copywriter. So I just spent my time because I could tell that she had stories inside her that were going to block being able to say anything to the copywriter that was going to matter at all. I could see the pain. It was in the area of words and hiring. I don't help people hire copywriters, but I just sat with her and said, wow, if you're going to hire a copywriter, you know, have you thought about this yet? I'm just, you know, wondering, right? And if you thought about this and thought about this, we ended up staying. We were the last ones. We closed down the place. And she was asking question after question because it was things she didn't realize. I was just helping her. I was giving her my time for free. And then at the end of it, because she still had so many more questions, I'm like, listen, would you like to do a strategy session? That's to see, you know, what your best next step is in this area. I will freely give you my time to do that. You know, what's your best next step? And we'll see. And if the person is closer in, you say, and if and how I can serve you. But, you know, we'll find out what the best next step is. So that's a strategy session. That's one place close in where you're just having a conversation with somebody. And if they end up with pain in your area, you can make them an offer. If you are not the person to serve them, you can refer them to somebody else, or you can give them a suggestion they can implement on their own. So it's a pointed conversation where you're just giving your time freely. It's highly, highly valuable time. And you get to do it where you can see the person before you go do that Facebook ad or click here and buy or whatever it is, right? So a conversation with a real live person. And you can also make an offer at an event that's a higher level skill that's one to many. I wouldn't suggest starting there. Start with one real person in front of you. Speaking is one to many, so start with an easy offer. Hey, here's my free gift. Like, make it easy because that's one to many, right? It might even be at the end of a strategy session that's here, you know, read my free gift. Usually you want them to read it beforehand, or, you know, access it beforehand so they have some knowledge beforehand. But a strategy session. So what's the aim of a strategy session? Again, what's to help that person? What's your best next step? So for instance, we have a number of horse professionals on this call, right? You came from Karen's group. But one of you might be helping people put a saddle on. Another one is helping with loving presence with horses. Another one is helping with mindset issues. Another one is helping with a particular aspect of riding. Somebody might come to you, they have pain in generalized horse area. Maybe they even live in your area, but as you talk to them, you find out they don't really need me. They need Mary Kay, or they need Michelle, or they need whoever else. And you refer them to a colleague, and they'll do the same to you, right? Or maybe they need help with time management, right? You refer them to my friend Sarah, or to Steve, or somebody who does that work, right? Because they can't even get to their horse because their life is so piled up, they can't do anything. So you're going to refer them over there. So that's what a strategy session is. And what do you think the number one principle is behind strategy sessions? Do you think it's like, hey, I'm going to get you in a conversation so I can sell you something? Reference the conversation between Anna Maria and Steve. What do you think is the primary principle behind strategy sessions? If you think back to that conversation, please tell me, it will land better if it's not me. Anne, go ahead. Oh, you're muted again. Yeah, Anne, you're muted. You unmuted and then you muted again. Oh, you're still muted. Okay. There you are.
To help someone.
Yes. Yes. And you can see why we spend so long on that in the networking, because it goes straight through to the speaking, straight through to the strategy sessions, and we can't do it without that. And it sounds, okay, well, we easily say that, but how do we actually do that? How do we actually do that and keep that in mind, and how easy it is for something else to slip in, like we saw it in Anna Maria's language? Because I know she's heart-centered. I know she wants to serve people, but it still comes out in the language and inside us. Well, I got to sell something. I got to sell myself, whatever. No. A strategy session is, I am there. Some of you have had strategy sessions with me. Was I there in service? All right. Service. I'm there to serve. I'm there to serve. And I often like giving the example of Sergio. So Sergio came for a strategy session with me a while back, about a year ago. And, you know, he wasn't in my usual, really not in my usual demographic, because he was both, you know, I obviously attract more women to this work than men, but I love men too. Oh my goodness, we're so happy to have them here. And then also, he happens to live in Australia. All the calls are in the middle of the night. You know, my usual base is somewhere in North America. I had a strategy session with him. I'm like, it's probably not likely that there's something I can do to help him out. Well, I'm just going to show up and serve. And lo and behold, like, there was something that I could help him further with. I just showed up on that call to serve. There's going to be somebody in his area. There's going to be something that I can do. I can serve. That is the mindset. That is the reality. That's like 100% of my cells aligned in service. All right. And what are the five powerful words to make sales easy? And it's not just saying these words, it's getting them in our bones. How can I help you? That's it. How can I help you? It's more magical than we think. And I'm so grateful for Anna Maria's question today, because we can see how even in heart-centered people, it can get mussed up, right? I think I have to sell myself. Nothing like that. I'm there listening. I'm there in service. I'm listening to what their problem is. I'm listening to their pain. And how can I help you? And even, I should even say 8 words. How do you think I can help you? That's if you're already in the strategy session, because that person has come, like Shelley did. Her name was Shelley, the one who came to me a couple of years ago. I'd helped her with the copyright. I'm like, hey, do you want to meet in for a strategy session? I was like, we'll see what your best next step is. What's the fee? Well, there's no fee, right? If there's no, you know, we're just looking for fit. There's something, a way I can help you. Either I'll refer you to somebody or something you can do yourself, or maybe there's a way I can help you. There's no fit. There's no charge, right? So those are all useful words. And how can I help you? And then how do you think I can help you? Because if they've entered into that conversation, the genre is, you are here to help me, which is different than networking. You don't walk up to somebody networking and go, like, how do you think I can help you? Oh, you're trying to sell me something. You know, and so people have this automatic reaction. But people have said, hey, let's sit down together and figure out what the best next step is, somehow related to this area. Then how do you think I can help you? You came to this call for a reason, right? So that's the very first thing that that I would ask in strategy sessions. So the first thing is to go find strategy sessions. And they're the lifeblood of a company. They're the closest in way. And then there's events, and then there's online things, but those are all harder. Until you've mastered strategy sessions, I would stay there, right? That doesn't mean if you're doing other things, don't worry about that, right? But strategy sessions will tell you, like I said, with Jasmine, it will tell you what people's pain is, right? And about strategy sessions too, it's about maybe 1 in 5 calls where, on average, where somebody is the right fit, and you'll make an offer to other people or not, but maybe 1 in 5 will say yes to you. If you're doing, like some of you might be going, I'm not, like say eight out of 10 are saying yes. Probably means it's time to raise your prices. Right? And maybe you're not doing as many of them as you could be doing. Maybe you're not reaching as far. That happened to me when I began my year-long. 100% of people were saying yes at the beginning. That wasn't a good thing, actually, at that time. 100% of people were saying yes, because I wasn't being brave enough. I wasn't asking enough people. I was thinking of myself as smaller than I really could be in who I could serve. So it's not necessarily that things are going right or wrong at any given level of people saying yes. And it depends what we're offering as well, right? But in general, in the industry, if you're really good at it, 1 in 4, some people even 1 in 3 maybe. If it's 1 in 5, maybe if it's not quite your right audience, might be 1 in 6, 1 in 10. But 1 in 5 is kind of a nice number. And so if we broaden out, for some of you, it's like, wow, I'm closing 8 out of 10 right now. Broaden out the number of people you're speaking to. Some people, it's like, I don't even have conversations like that. Start having conversations. So why would we want to have conversations like this? Again, if we're not making offers, we don't have a company. That's the closest in talking to one real live human being. If we're speaking and making an offer, we got to tend to 2 people. So even if it's in our living room with 2 people, like Michelle with her parents, I got to tend to 2 people at once. So I have to have a much subtler level of understanding of, you know, what's going on inside them, what they need, and be able to find the language that speaks to many people at once. So have one-on-one conversations, all right? And a really important question you can ask too is, you know, what made you decide to invest your time to talk to me today? Because people are making choices and they're making investments. They're investing time. This matters to them. So find out why this matters to them, this conversation, all right? So, and the aim of the strategy session, you're not trying to sell anything. If you recall, I said in the 4-minute talk, I never have to sell anything anymore. It's all about the story. I only had 5 words to say it, so I can't really elaborate, but I can tell you guys a deeper truth about that. I don't have to sell anything anymore because all I'm doing is trying to help people. The very same thing that I'm doing when I'm networking. I will stay with that person until we find something that helps them, whether it's with me or somebody else. So it feels in deep integrity. It's easy to do. And I don't need to sell something. I'm just looking for a fit. Is there something in my court that might help that person? If I don't think so, I'm not going to make an offer. If I don't think they're ready, I'm not going to make an offer. If they're not clamoring for that thing already, I'm not going to make an offer. I'm just going to help them and send them somewhere else, or maybe send them to something free that I do, or something somewhere that they can gain access. Or I've sent people to other people in story, right? Just like you send to somebody to another person who works with horses, right? It was somebody who really wanted a plug and play. Like, I want all the scripts and I want to fill in the blanks. Yeah, like, go over there, please. You know, if you really are sure you want that, go over there. All right. So let me see. What's one thing that you heard in this? Just jot it down for yourself, actually. One thing, the most important thing that you heard might be a mind shift about how you make your offers in your company. It might be about, you know, what you should be doing to grow your company. It might be about that this is simpler than you think. You don't have to be salesy, whatever it is. Write down your one aha. Because I just want to pause because there's a lot of training here and there's more I want to share with you. And Steve, I see your note. We'll make sure it gets posted. Okay. Probably too on Tuesday, we're going to start out with some straight out training. I'm ending with the training here. We're probably going to, even though there's some really important questions on deck, still Jasmine's other question. We're going to start because we're going to continue this training straight off on our next call. And but I want to get to this piece here. I'm going to sit down with somebody in a strategy session, and let's say they're the right person in front of me, they're that 1 in 5 or whatever is your ratio, and you want to make an offer to them. Well, what is it you're even going to offer? You should have a couple things in hand that you offer. And if it's a strategy session, let it be, it can't be like a $25 offer. You will not be able to sustain that. You can't spend a lot of time with each person and have a $25 offer at hand, right? So this is really helpful if you have something that is your best work, your highest ticket work, and offer that. And if you don't have one, for those who are in the year long, a week from today, we have a day long high ticket virtual retreat, and people have come out of that. On the very next day, one of our clients was a hairdresser. She'd never sold anything like that before. The next day she made and sold her first $2,500 offer. Another person, like a few days later, her first $10,000 offer. So you guys will have all the building blocks of how to do that a week from today, all right, if you're in the year long. Whether you are or you aren't, I want to give you a little bit about, well, what are you even going to offer? And I want to teach you the language of, you know, benefit versus feature. If you've heard that language before, raise your hand. Benefit versus feature. You've heard that? Not too many of you. Okay. So most people waste their time selling the features. I mean, you don't even want to sell it. Sorry. But if you get to that end part where somebody's asking, they're asking you, Michelle, how can I work with you? Anne, how can I work with you? By the end, they will be asking you if they're the right person. What's my next step? I can see that I need help. How can you help me? Right? When they're asking, and right just before that, we'll go through that more again next time. Most people spend time on the features. Well, it's going to be 27 calls. Then you're going to read this book, and then you're going to have this handout, and you're going to be on 5 million. And it's like, kill me now. I don't have time for that. Those are just the features. Those are the way to get there. It's the benefits. What's the transformation you offer? What is it that they're actually wanting? And remember, right from networking, you've been listening to them, so you know what they want because you've been listening. Michelle, I know what to say. I just can't, it's like the words on the tip of my tongue. I just can't find the words. Those words came right out of a client's mouth. Somebody told me that once, and then it became a title of one of my calls. Know what to say, but just can't find the words. Right? Or whatever it is that your clients are saying to you. So transformation, you're always just focused on the transformation. 90% of your time, you're going to be talking about that. And 10% of the time, I want you to, you know, show up, there's an event, or I want you to, right, there's going to be some calls, and, you know, that's not the part that people care about. We usually overemphasize that because we spent so long building it. So we want people to know about it. Let it go. Let it go. Oh, you want to be able to stand beside your horse and not be afraid because you fell off 3 times last week. Yeah, I get it. That feels scary, doesn't it? You want to be inside their head. It feels scary. I bet you probably don't ever want to see that horse again sometimes. Yeah, I got it. Yeah. When I work closely with people, we start by not even having them near the horse. We're going to be like far away from that horse. You don't even have to see it. So, right? I'm speaking their language, whatever the thing is. I'll give you one example, right? And the thing that you want to think about is, what are your clients saying? What are your clients saying? Because that's the language you're going to use in the strategy session. What you actually do in that strategy session, we'll outline next time. And we'll talk about who that client is, all right? So who the client is and what you'd be saying in those conversations, which then will translate into online, which will translate into, you know, if you're making an offer at an event, like all that translates, but we got to start close in, all right? So the thing that you want to pay attention to is, I know we got to wrap it up here in just the next moment or two. So pillow talk, I call it pillow talk. Pillow talk. You know, when they're lying in bed late at night and they can't sleep, and they roll over and they say to their partner, like, oh, I have no idea how we're going to pay the rent next month, you know? Or like, what are we going to do with these kids? Or they're not saying, would you like this isn't anybody here, but would you like to have an investment that is worry-free? And you see how the difference in language one and language two? What you want is what they're saying. I don't know if I'm ever going to ride a horse again. Maybe that's what they're saying. I don't know. I go to events, but people always talk to other people and I have no idea what to say. Maybe that's what you guys are saying. For example, I don't know, right? What are your people actually saying? That's why you're going to gather so much data in the networking and you're going to be listening to people, right? And all the places where you meet people. What are they actually saying? That's what you're going to be offering to them, that thing that they say in those words. I'll add one more piece here. You need to know the difference between what's inside the party and how you decorate the door. Let me give you the best example I've ever had at this stage in the class to show you that. What's inside the party is what's on my storyboard. That's the structure and the fundamental things that I know they need to know, but they don't know they need that. That's inside the party. I don't give that out to people. They'd go, I don't need that. But I know that that's what they're going to need. I decorate the door with my speaker sheet. These are the questions they're asking. Now I'm going to answer every single one of those questions and much, much more. I make sure that I deliver on my promises. But that's structured by their brains. This is structured by what I know that they need. That's inside the party. Right? And how we use those different levels and what we actually say in that strategy session, how we find that client, that potential client, and how we, you know, the most important keys to speaking to that person in that strategy session, we're going to cover next time, right? So we're at a real crucial piece in practical applications. We needed everything that came before to understand what's going on here. And this is the lifeblood of a company, because if you're not making offers, you don't have a company, or we don't have a sustainable company. We have a hobby. So we'll talk about this next time, or in the place to be able to, you guys will hear it so easily. Keep your questions coming. It helps me know what matters to you, and it gives us ways to see how we implement in all kinds of different places too, which I love. So keep posting your questions. We're going to wind up this call today. And remember, we're back to Tuesdays for practical applications. And those who are in the year long, remember, we got an entire day Thursday. Please check the course schedule. I have it in my head right now. I don't have it right beside me, but check the course schedule, right? We've got an entire day of the High Ticket Virtual Retreat that will dive into the details of this and far more than we can do in a few minutes. But we'll give you some really essential foundations too for that High Ticket Virtual Retreat with what we're going to do on Tuesday, practical applications. All right. So have a fantastic week, everybody. We're going to round this up with one aha and one inspired action, so we know what we've learned and how to take it into the real world so it is actually moving the needle. And you are in my upper left-hand corner. You're up first. One aha, one inspired action. And thanks always if you need to leave. I know we're like 2 minutes over. If you need to leave, totally understand it. Make sure you post somewhere to a friend, to somebody, what that aha, what that inspired action is. Thanks so much. And you're up.
I think one of the aha moments, bore them with the basics, I loved. And the benefit and the feature thing, I think that was really great to hear how simple that really should be.
The yes. benefit
and not worry about the features. And again, my inspired action is to still try to get to read your 4 and 7 minute talks.
Yeah, go see the talks. You're going to see more and more and more every time you hear more from what we're doing. Yes. You're going to understand more nuance of what's going on there because they're complex pieces that look overtly simple, right? But in a complexity that we can understand from the things we've been learning here and yes. that you guys can do, right? Yeah, absolutely. Thanks, Anne. Dottie, you're up.
I thought so much of the class was excellent. I think that with the bios, to not talk about me, to stick it with just the benefits of the people, what I can do to benefit the people.
Mm-hmm. And can you hear, again, that translates from over there in the networking where it keeps translating over. Yes, thank you, Dottie. And then your inspired action.
Is to also listen to your 4 and 7 minute talks.
Yeah, thank you. It's a great thing to do. You're going to hear so much more. Thanks, Dottie. Steve, you're up.
So many good things here. The transformation of, you know, what's there as opposed to the features,
mm-hmm.
is of course, again, where I go. And I need to look at, my bio and rewrite that with as Dottie mentioned, the idea of the perspective of the hearer as opposed to the perspective of the teller.
Exactly. And remember the thing I said, the biggest mistake with speakers is missing out, understanding the audience and purpose. Same with the bios. It's the very same thing. Love it, Steve. Thank you. Beautiful. Anna Marie. Yeah. Thank you for being here. So great to see you. See you next time. bye, Steve. Anna Maria, you're up.
I was really thinking that for me, that my comfort zone is really irrelevant. It's more important, how can I be of service to people like this?
This is a huge shift and so important. Anna Maria, yes. And we get out of our own way. It's like, I'm actually just trying to help people here. Everything gets so much simpler, but we need to come back to that and understand it at whole nuanced levels to have it be enacted. Thank you. Yes. And what's your inspired action?
Listen to people's concerns, fears, or worries, and also listen to my horse's needs.
Yes. Beautiful. Love it. Thank you.
Thank you.
Elaine, you're up.
There we go. Hi.
Hi.
aha was definitely the benefit versus the features. That's huge. I never thought about it like that ever. So focus on the benefits. And then what I'm going to do, I'm actually going to, do a big one. I'm going to re-listen to all of the calls.
That's a great thing to do. You will hear so much more.
Yeah.
Now from this perspective, when you start over, it's like, oh, that's what that means. Fantastic. Yeah. Fantastic action. Thank you, Elaine. Love it.
Yep. Thank you.
Yeah. Wendy, you're up. If you can speak, which you did earlier.
Yeah. One of the things that it's like maybe from earlier on, but I loved the needing to go back and review, and have feedback from your group so that
yeah.
you can make sure that what you're teaching is landing.
Mm-hmm.
And my inspired action, I missed the Shavasana, exercise. And so I would like to spend some time.
Oh, I love it. Yes, take time after the call. How perfect is that? And that reviewing, it follows all the same principles of keeping the audience in mind. And what is it like? I could be teaching here, but if nobody's getting anything, what's the point? So that kind of one-way transmission teaching has that that audience in mind as well. So thank you, Wendy. Love it. Sergio, you're up. Are you still in the place where you can speak?
I'm driving. The thing was, you said bore them to death. My thing is, it's not bore them to death. You've got to repeat things up to 30 times sometimes to get it into their mind.
Repetition, huge. Yes.
Repetition, yes.
And that's why also she could pick out what I was saying, because I said those words more than once in that talk. stories are everywhere. It came out in different ways and different, so she knew it was important. And then your action, Sergio.
I'm going to listen to your the talk show list of yours on the
story. Yeah, brief. Fantastic. Yeah, fantastic. Love it. Thank you all so much. Great, great work. Keep the questions coming. Keep implementing what we're doing here. Go out, play, experiment, have fun with this. And go out and do a couple of strategy sessions before next week's call. There's a challenge for you. A strong suggestion to you, because you'll have great questions after that. And come anyway, whether you do or don't. Have a fantastic week, everybody. And we'll see you on Tuesday for practical applications. If you're in the year long, we'll see you for a whole day on Thursday. Bye-bye for now. Have a great week. Bye-bye.